Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. Oh, man, we got a good one tonight. We got a lot going on in combat sports, and we're going to try to get to all of it tonight, believe it or not. But, hey, I just need to introduce my co-host. Yo, Keys, what's going on, bro? How you doing? Yo, yo, yo. I see him in here. I'm going to have to get his audio right. But that's fine until we get him right. You know, we got a lot going on, combat sports. Me and Keys, we're going to do a UFC 279 review tonight. We're going to talk about a little bit of Nate Diaz tonight. See what he might, because Nate has a lot of options, and we're going to see, me and Key is going to discuss what we think is probably going to be his next move, or maybe his best move. And then last week came out that maybe two weeks ago, Jake Paul was going to fight Anderson Silva, and then it came out that Anthony Joshua was going to fight Tyson Fury, and then the biggest fight that anybody want to see in boxing was announced last week. We got Earl Spence Jr. taking on Terrence Crawford. And last Saturday in Las Vegas, it was announced that Logan Paul will be taking on the WWE Universal Undisputed World Champion Roman Reigns at Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia. So we have a lot to talk about tonight, and me and Key is going to try to get to all of it. Let me see if my brother here. Hey, Key, what's up, bro? All right, let me try to mute him, then bring him in. There's not a burden to anyone. Yo, bro, you there? All right, well, I'm going to jump my man in. We're going to see what's going on with him. But we're going to go ahead and press on. UFC 279, what a historic card. Shout out to the UFC for making it happen, especially with all the shuffling they had to do with the main event, with other fights. You know, the main event was supposed to be Khamzat Chimaev versus Nate Diaz. But it ended up changing to Nate Diaz versus Tony Ferguson. And then Khamzat Chimaev fought Kevin Holland. And then Lee Jean Ling fought Daniel Rodriguez, who was originally scheduled to fight Kevin Holland. And Lee was originally scheduled to fight Tony Ferguson. There was a lot of moving parts. But it ended up being a good card, a lot of action. It's just crazy the way some of the fights ended up happening and some of the scoring in some of the fights. But, you know, that's just the fight game. But,
all right, we here.
Yeah, we here. Yeah, Key, what's up, bro?
My bad.
Hey, that's all right. I was just giving the people a little taste of what we're going to be talking about tonight. You know, we're going to do a UFC 279 review. Man, you're going to talk about Nate Diaz. And then we're going to talk about all the fight news that came out in the past 2 weeks as far as boxing, some wrestling also. But, hey, man, how you been, man?
I've been good, yo. I've been good. Sorry that I was running a few minutes late tonight. I had to finish up a couple things right there, but I'm here now. We're going to get to rocking. I was able to catch what you said, and I mean, I'm already aware. You know, we both watch all the news. You know, we're both up to date for the most part on pretty much everything in the combat sports world. So, you know, if it's wrestling, MMA, or boxing, you know, it's likely that one of us knows about it. you know, to a certain extent. And, yeah, well, let's get to all of those. I'd like to hit every single one of those, and I think that's more than doable. So, you know, I've been doing good. I'm feeling good. Let's get to it. Whatever you want to hit first, I'm ready. We could do 279 first if you want to go over that briefly, and then we'll get into, you know, Roman Reigns or whatever you want to do.
Man, we got a call in the queue already, bro. Let's see who this is.
Yeah. Yo,
what's up, caller? How you doing tonight? Who we talking to?
We're talking to Lou from Jersey.
Who is this?
We're talking to Lou from New Jersey.
Okay, what's up, man? How you doing?
All right. Just another fight. I could have watched that. I missed it, but I heard it was a pretty good fight in UFC.
Okay, you got a question or something you want to get to, or what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, I just wish I could have seen it, but it was a pretty good fight there.
Oh, yeah, it was a good fight. We were just about to talk about it right now. Let me put you on hold real quick, all right?
All right,
Keys, UFC 279, after all the matchmaking and shuffling and all that, it ended up actually being a pretty decent card. I was surprised by a few things, but what was your overall impression of UFC 279?
It was pretty good. I mean, I'll tell you this: by the time they got up to Diaz and Ferguson, I was gone, bro. I don't even know what was going down. My boy told me they looked like two turtles in there. I don't even remember the fight. Like, I don't even know what was. I was just watching it at that point. Like, that was where I was at when Volkanovski and Korean Zombie fought. Like, I didn't even. Like, I just remember watching it. I couldn't tell you what happened in the rounds or if the dudes looked good. I don't know. They fought, and I watched it, but I couldn't really tell you much else than that. Khamzat, you know, he did what he was supposed to do. I'll tell you that. That was no surprise to me. That was exactly the way I expected that to go. I don't know why people were surprised about that.
Yeah, I think people were surprised because of what Kevin Holland said going into the fight. Kevin Holland said that if I can get him to the third or fourth, in the third, fourth, and fifth rounds, then the fight swings to my advantage. But we all know Kevin Holland's weak point to his game is his wrestling. And what was the first thing Khamzat did? Actually, before we even get into that, Kevin Holland made a strategic mistake, Keys. Did you see it in the beginning of the fight?
See what?
He tried to touch gloves with Khamzat, and Khamzat immediately took him down, didn't touch gloves. Kevin Holland's left hand was up, going to touch gloves, and Khamzat ignored that and took him down, and the fight was over from that point on. Kevin Holland, for future reference, bro, if you and a guy have that much animosity going into a fight, do not try to touch gloves with that guy to start the fight off. Just get to the business, touch gloves, exchange pleasantries after the fight. I thought it was a dirty move by Khamzat, but at the same time, what are the fighters always told? Protect yourself at all times. So, you know, man, I just felt like that was a bad move by Kevin Holland. But at the same time, he just ignored fight rule number one. Protect yourself at all times. Did you notice that at the beginning of the fight?
I didn't really understand it. I mean, I'm pretty sure they touched gloves before they even. I thought they touched gloves before that. That's not really a time where you would touch gloves again. You know what I mean? So I don't really know why Kevin Holland was trying to do that. Especially when he was, like, a part of all that commotion that happened, like, and the way his energy was. Like, it's kind of weird that he would even, like, try to touch gloves at that point. And Khamzat was just ready to throw down like he should be. So, like, if there's all that commotion, like, Kevin Holland, like, why are you going to, like, touch gloves with this man? Like, I'm just trying to understand it. Like, I don't know, bro. I think Kevin Holland, to be honest, like, that's one of my guys. Like, us Kevin fit together, bro. But I think he might have been a little bit scared. I think he was a little intimidated. And I think the glove touch was, you know, I can't really speculate on what was going through his mind, but I think he just knew he was going to lose. And I don't know if he was trying to, like, soften that up or something, or if that was, like, out of nervousness he went to touch gloves. I don't want to speculate too much, but I'll just at least say I don't understand it. I don't know what he was trying. I don't really know what that was for. But overall, I mean, I definitely think that he was just like, all right, I'm going to get more money. I mean, I know I'm going to lose this fight, you know, 95% chance I'm going to lose this fight. But I'm going to get more money before, you know, we lock that in. And I think that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, I was just like, because at first I thought it was a dirty move by Hamzat, but then I had to think about it once again that, you know, as a fighter, you got to protect yourself at all times. And he let his guard down, and boom, he got taken down and eventually choked out. I thought his scrambles were good, but there's only so much scrambling you can do against a guy who's basically in the top position the whole time. So Kevin Holland did get paid more money, you know, and all that good stuff. But it definitely wasn't a good showing on his part. So, but outside of that, what did you think of the Li Jingling versus Daniel Rodriguez fight? I thought that fight was very, very good. I'm normally a big fan of technical fights. Both these guys, for that distance, used kicks, tried to close distance and all that. And I thought it was a good fight. I thought Li Jingling won rounds one and rounds three. But the judges gave Daniel Rodriguez the decision. I think he got a split decision in that fight. I didn't see it. But it was a good technically fought fight, and I enjoyed it.
I mean, I'll tell you this. I don't remember how I had the rounds. I'd have to go back and watch it. But I did think Li Jingling looked better, though. I thought he looked better pretty much throughout the fight. I mean, I don't know if – like I said, I don't know if I'm not saying I gave him all three rounds. I don't really know what rounds I gave who. But I did think he looked better. And I was kind of surprised at that decision. I was definitely surprised when they called that. I did not think that was the way that fight was leaning. And I guess what it just makes me think is, how would that fight have looked different if they had actually fought at the same weight? You know what I'm saying? Because D-Rod was 10 pounds heavier than Li Jingling. So if and D-Rod's saying he'll rematch him because, you know, all the fans are saying that he lost. All right, so if y'all are going to rematch, can we rematch at 170? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Li Jingling was the only one on that triple header that had to fight a guy that was heavier. Like, Hamzat got to fight a guy basically at the same weight. Diaz got to fight a guy basically at the same weight. But Li Jingling was the only one that had to fight a guy 10 pounds heavier than him.
Yeah.
If y'all are going to rematch, which I would be cool with a rematch, I mean, but if you're going to do it, can we do it at 170, please?
Yeah, I feel you. And plus, once Daniel Rodriguez rehydrated, he probably was even more heavier than Li Jingling. So, but even with that being said, I thought Li won the fight. But you know, sometimes the judges are kind of quirky. But getting to the main event, you know, we had Nate and Tony squaring off. It was a very entertaining fight. I know you probably don't remember much of it. It was very entertaining. You know, both of them was in there doing their thing. You know, at one point, Nate was pointing at Tony, like mocking him, like, come on, let's fight. Tony turned his back to Nate a couple times. inviting him to engage. But once I think once they settled in and like the late first and the middle of the second, that's when we started getting the fight. I thought Tony looked good once again. But, Keys, I do not understand Tony's corner's game plan. Nate was training to fight Khamzat Chimaev. Chimaev is basically a wrestler and a grappler. So, Tony Ferguson, corner, why would you advise Tony to take Nate down? Nate has basically been training his whole camp to defend the takedown and fight off his back. As soon as Tony tried to take him down, Nate locked in the guillotine and the fight was over. He locked in the guillotine before his back even touched the mat. And I was like, why would you advise him to go for the takedown when you know he has been training to defend the takedowns the whole camp? So, you know, Nate gets to go out on the white horse. You know, he gets to lead the UFC with a win, and a win against a good guy, man. I don't know what's going on with Tony right now. I don't know where he stands at as far as the UFC, but I don't want to see Tony fighting the Bellator. I don't want to see him fighting the ONE Championship. I want to see him possibly finish out in the UFC. I just think there's more to him and his game right now that's being shown in the results of his fight. Because even you pointed out his hand movement got better. Actually, I want to say his body got better. And I like his overall fighting style now, where he ain't as wild. He's a little bit more strategic, a little bit more technical. Because even in the Chandler fight, he was winning that fight. You know, Chandler just caught him with the front kick to the face, and boom, it was over. But in this fight, I blame his coaching, man. Why would you tell him to go for a takedown when that's all Nate has been training for the whole camp? And, man, it was just crazy to me, Keys.
Yeah, I couldn't really – you got to hold down the analysis of Tony because, like I said, I don't even remember the fight. By the time that fight was on, I was watching it, but it was like a percentage of me was watching it. I was watching it, you know, the whole – I was, you know, I didn't leave the room, but, man, I had the Casamigos going that night. I was deep. You know what I mean? I was very deep. And then I was very hungover the next day. I was paying for it. So, yeah, I had to watch the highlights. The highlights that people posting on Twitter is like, that's my memory of the fight now. It's like what people posted back. And then I could see like, okay, these guys, okay. I was like, all right, these guys kind of, you know what I mean? You know, Tony, I don't know. You know, Tony, what I would probably want to see next, what I would probably want to see Tony do next is he's lost 5 in a row now. And like I said, I can't really critique him based on that. I would have to watch the fight when it's available on ESPN Plus and then tell you like what he looked like. But I wouldn't want to see him do another walkaway fight. I'd rather see him go back to 155 and fight. Give him like an unranked guy or something. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to. Like, let's see where he's at. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to watch him go on, like, this extremely long losing streak like Anderson Silva did. Like, Anderson Silva, you know, lost, what, like 9 fights in a row or something. Like, I don't want to see Tony do that. So, you know, this is his 5th loss in a row. It's like, I say you have him go back to 155. Like, give him, you know, an unranked but, like, good guy. You know, it doesn't have to be, like, you know, we're not. You know, we're not downrating him like, oh, he can't beat anybody. But it's like, I mean, he's taken a number of losses in the top 10. And, you know, and even, and we all know that even, like, the lower half, like even the top 10 to top 15 of the lightweight division is still all killers. Like, you're not getting an easy fight there either. So that's why I'm not saying, like, oh, let's have Tony fight, like, whoever's at number 13. Because number 13 is probably, like, Mateus Gamrot or something. It's probably, like, Armin Saryukin. You know, it's one of those dudes that's an absolute beast. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be anybody that's easy to beat. So, I mean, if you wanted to have him fight those guys, like, you could, but I wouldn't love it. I mean, I think what I would say is have him fight an unranked guy that's, like, still game at 155 and see where he's at, you know, like, let's go like that, you know. I mean, you could have him fight, like, a Brad Riddle if you want, you know, you could do that, but that's, I mean, I'm like I said, I'm not dying for it, but I'd say unranked 55. You know, I think his body looked arguably better at 155, even though he's a bit drained out. But I don't think it's necessarily bad. You know, that's where his best days were at. And, you know, then we see where he's at. If he fights an unranked guy and it's a bad showing or he gets finished, you know, that's six in a row at that point. You know, that's we got to really have a serious conversation at that point and really look at it, because – you don't want to see him go, you know, lose and lose. But six, if we get the six losses in a row, bro, that's no good. You know what I mean? I don't want to be so prideful over Tony that I'm, like, endorsing him to, like, continue a career that it's not working for him. You know what I mean? I don't want to be that kind of fan that like, enables the situation to get worse. So that's what I think. Go down to 155, have him fight an unranked guy. And depending on, like, and hey, you know, he could very well come out, you know, beat the piss out of that dude, and we're like, okay, Tony's still here. Boom, let's keep going. But, like, if he would go and have a bad showing and get destroyed or get finished early, like, or just get dominated, like, you know what I mean? We got to kind of say, like, all right, do we think he should keep fighting or, you know, should he step away?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, but I'm looking at what you said about Anderson Silva, and yeah, man, Anderson was just like loss, draw. I mean, loss, no contest, loss, win. And I want to say the win against Derek Brunson, I really want to say he lost that fight, in my opinion. I thought Brunson won that fight. So basically, yeah, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He had lost 7 out of his last 9 fights before he retired from the UFC. So, yeah, man, I just don't see I don't want to use the term gimme, but I just don't see a gimme fight for Tony, man, at 155. I mean, would I mind seeing him and Brad Riddle? No. Would I mind seeing him and Bobby Green? I would love to see him versus Bobby Green. You know, I think they're in the same weight class. I would love that fight because I think that fight would be an absolute banger. I think it'll be a lot of action in that fight. I don't think either get. I don't know whether or not Bobby can wrestle. So I don't see Tony trying to take him down, so I see that fight. Yeah, but I'm with you. Maybe Brad Riddle, maybe Bobby Green. But Bobby just had surgery on his hand. But I saw on Instagram where he got his cast removed, so I guess he's moving in the right direction. But speaking of Nate Diaz, man, Keys, what would you like to see Nate Diaz next, man? What would you like to see him fighting somewhere else? As far as like bare knuckle, maybe boxing Jake Paul, maybe going to Bellator. I mean, what you see for Nate Diaz going forward?
And I'm gonna say this last thing about Tony is that, you know, where I was saying, like, yeah, even if you go into like the top 10 to 15, like 11, 12, 13, 14, like you still have, like, you know, Armin there and Gamrot there. They are up there. And then you also have Tony's at number 15, And then you can't have him fight number 13 because number 13 is Jalen Turner, and he's a beast. Jalen Turner is an absolute beast. You know what I'm saying? So, see, you know, I got to say it, man. That just kind of doubled down on the point Keys made right there, bro. Like, when you even go to the end of that top 15, you still have killers there. And it's like the only other guy you could put him – I think the only fight you could put him in the top 15 that would be, like, I would accept it would be Dan Hooker. And Dan Hooker's number 14, and Tony's 15. That's the only fight that I would be like, okay, let's do it. But anyone else, pretty much, I wouldn't really want to see it because I'm not sure, like, any of them are winnable fights. You know what I mean? I'm really not. And I'm not trying to knock him. I don't want to risk it. You know what I mean? I don't want to see him lose again. You know what I mean? I don't want to see him go. He's lost five in a row, bro. Like, it's almost like it's torturing him, you know, and he just doesn't realize it. Like, you know, with his attitude, he's so positive that, like, he just almost doesn't even see it. But it's like, bro, you've lost five in a row. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't feel good to enable that. Like, and be like, oh, yo, but, you know. It's like, no, it doesn't feel good. It's like Anderson Silva, like, went like 1-8 in his last 9 or whatever it was. Like, that's nothing to be proud of, bro. Silva kind of, you know, ruined his legacy a little bit with that, in my opinion. Like,
yep.
He kind of did, bro. Like, that's not the way you want to go out. Like, when you start losing like that, like, you got to know when to bow out. You know, DC knew when to bow out. He lost a couple fights. He bowed out. GSP knew when to step away. Once he did really retire, he knew when to bow out. You know what I mean? He lost, you know, earlier on, but, you know, he knew the time. You know what I mean? He knew his time, and now he's happy in retirement. Those are guys that timed it well, you know what I'm saying? And those are some of the guys that did it, you know, the way you should. You know, you bow out before, you know, when you know that you're starting to, you know, you could lose a couple fights. I think DC did it the perfect way. Like, he lost a couple fights. He's like, okay, I think I'm done. Like, 41 years old, whatever. Like, I think I'm done, you know? And so, yeah, I think no top 15, unless it's going to be Dan Hooker. That's the only fight. And then besides that, I like the Bobby Green fight. I definitely like the Bobby Green fight. That's one that I would be down for. And I think that would be a good one to see where he's at. I thought of him. And then, while you were talking, I thought of it, and then you brought it up. I think that could be the fight. You know, that might be the one. I wouldn't be surprised if they're in talks to that right now, and or either one of those. I bet you one of those would be the next one, actually. And then so for Nate Diaz, I think BKFC will end up giving him, you know, a multi-million-dollar contract, and then he'll sign that, and he'll go fight there. I think that's what will happen. It's not really necessarily what I want to see, but I guess just what I want to see is, like, Nate to still make a lot of money. You know what I mean? That's what I want to see. It's not really, like, where do I want him to fight. I don't really so much care where he fights. Wherever's going to, like, offer him the most money and, like, still pay him his worth, because he's a huge name, huge personality, very entertaining fighter to watch. You know what I mean? He brings a lot to the table still. It's not like he's, you know, down and out. He, you know, can't win a fight. Like, he could beat a lot of guys. If he went to Bellator, he could beat a lot of guys. If he went to BKFC, he could beat a lot of guys. Like, if he went to go do, you know, some jiu-jitsu tournament, I think he could beat a lot of guys. Like, Nate still, you know, he still has a lot to offer, you know, in many ways. I'd want to see, and even if it got to the point where he didn't have a lot to offer, I would still want to see him get a bag. You know what I mean? Just because he's one of our guys. That's just how I feel about it. Even if he gets to the point where he can't even win a fight, I still want to see him get a bag. So let him go over there. You know, easier fight than Bellator, easier fight than Bare Knuckle. And I definitely think that's what will happen. And Bare Knuckle said they did reach out to him. They've already reached out to him. And Bellator has already reached out to him. But I think the Bare Knuckle one is the one that will happen, I think. Because Bare Knuckle has been offering big contracts. I think they'll offer him, like, at least a $1 million contract, if not multi-million. And he'll sign that and go fight a couple bums over there, win some fights. You know what I mean? That's like a perfect game for Nate Diaz, you know? I feel like he would love that kind of shit. That's his game. And, yeah, I think that's what will happen. Watch. I think that will happen. He'll sign BKFC. It will.
I think Nate has a lot of options. think he'll probably do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I think he will only do probably like one fight deals. I think he'll probably sign a one fight deal with Bare Knuckle, do that. And then I think he's going to try to box. I think he'll do that. Do I see him trying to do a jiu-jitsu tournament or competition? Yeah. So I see Nate probably, and then they said he started his own fight club or something like that too. So I just see him having his bit, finally being free. You know, I know there's been I know Dana has said that the Diaz brothers are hard to work with. You know, and you just can tell they hard to work with because just the way they, you know, they go about their business. But at the same time, I think right now is the time for Nate to go ahead and maximize his financial situation, being that he did leave the UFC all on a win. I think leaving on a win is way better than losing on a loss. And plus, I still think he has the option for the trilogy fight for Conor. I know that's been off the table for a while. I know a lot of us probably are over it by now, but I don't think the UFC is over it. So that could still happen down the road. But, Keith, I got to ask you about this. Me and you have been clamoring for Jake Paul to fight somebody. We've been clamoring for him to fight a UFC guy that can really box. So Anderson Silva is his next opponent. How do you feel about Anderson Silva versus Jake Paul?
I think, and for Nate, I'll say this kind of ties into that. So I think we'll answer both, two birds and one stone. So I'll put it to you like this. I think Nate, right, there's this possibility. He goes to – Mike Perry has been calling him out, and I think a Nate Diaz-Mike Perry fight would be fireworks. That would be an excellent fight. And I think that's a fight that Nate would like because Mike Perry is a guy of his style, you know, a guy of his style and personality and fighting style. And I think Nate would get amped up. That's a guy that he would really, you know, they'd have a fun press conference, the whole thing. So I think Nate might go over there. Mike Perry's been calling him out. And maybe he does a one-fight deal, fights Mike Perry, then waits to see what happens with the Jake Paul and Anderson Silva fight, because he's already mentioned that too. And he said he's going to be, I think he already has tickets to that fight, so he's going to be there. So you already know the camera's going to be on Nate for sure. So who knows? If they can get the Mike Perry thing happening, he might go fight there, or he might wait and do, I don't know, either of those things are possible. But, yeah, I think he might wait and probably try to take the winner of that, you know, I would imagine. You know, you could end up with, and I think both are intriguing fights. You get either, you know, Nate and Jake Paul, or you could get Nate and Anderson Silva in boxing, and I think that would be box office too. You know what I'm saying? I think so. Diaz versus Silva boxing, I mean, those two dudes never fought before, and you're going to get it in boxing. I think that would be some interesting stuff. So I think, yeah, you could have him fight the winner of that or have him fight Mike Perry and Bare Knuckle, you know, if that fight doesn't, you know, if things don't work out with that. But what I think about Jake Paul and Anderson Silva is I think it's great. I'm glad that he's fighting somebody legit, you know. I mean, Silva just kind of got back into the boxing game. I know he had done a boxing fight in the past. And then he came back and just did it. He won a couple fights. I think he's 3-0 since he got back to boxing. But I think he has a 3-1 record. I saw he had a loss on his record from, I think it was like years ago. He did a fight or something like that. And I could be wrong, but yeah, I think Silva's still legit though. And I think Jake Paul, that was one that we were talking about, you know, earlier on. We were like, yeah, like I bet you he wouldn't fight Anderson Silva right now. Like, you know, Silva's in boxing. He's going to avoid that fight. And, we were wrong about that. You know, I'll admit that. I was wrong about that. You know, I know I said that at one point. But, he is fighting him. And I give him respect for that. You know, he's stepping up to fight. And it's pretty crazy because it even ties into his brother. Like, if you look at it, Jake Paul is about to fight, is about to box, you know, who the guy who a lot of people have as their GOAT, you know, as, you know, one of the greatest, one of the greatest MMA fighters ever. And Logan Paul is about to fight, I didn't know, but I guess some people feel like one of the best, you know, in depth, you know, one of the GOATs of WWE. You know, someone said that. I don't know if is Roman Reigns ranked like that high in the history at this point. You think that's accurate?
He's definitely on one of the most historic title runs right now in WWE history. I want to say it's going on maybe 3 years. So, but for them to give him this opportunity, then that tells me two things about Logan Paul. Number one, they want eyes on the product, and they know that he put eyes on the product because he has so many followers. But number two, and most importantly, is that he's taking wrestling serious. Because if he wasn't taking it serious, I don't think they would put him in this spot, which is going to be a main event spot, going against the top guy. Roman Reigns was the Pro Wrestling Index number one rated wrestler in the year 2022. So for them to get Logan Paul this, then he has to be, they must be showing him some stuff behind the scenes that show them that he's ready for this opportunity. So I'm looking forward to it, but am I really looking forward to it?
You're saying you're not looking forward to it?
I am, but I'm not. I'm kind of like up in the air about it, because if you really look at it on paper, Roman Reigns should beat the snot out of Logan Paul. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think Logan Paul is going to have a good showing. I think Roman is going to have to carry him a little bit, just like Floyd carried Conor a little bit and they fight. But I want to see what can Logan Paul step his game up to be a main event guy. Because if he can, WWE might have hit another home run, bro. They might have hit another home run.
I mean, I think one thing I'll say is I'm no expert on the wrestling and, like, oh, what looks like good wrestling. But I'll say this. Like, I don't even have cable. I don't watch really anything. So, besides, you know, UFC events and Netflix. But the clips that I've seen of Logan Paul in the ring, bro, he looks so good. It's so, like, it's bizarre, bro. I don't understand, like, how he looks that good. Like, I don't know if you ever, like, felt, if you ever thought this, but he looks damn good, bro. From the clips I've seen of him, his matches, like 1 minute, 2 minute clip, 3 minute clip, he's doing all these moves in there and he's flipping around. I'm like, dog, he looks like a natural in there. He looks like he belongs in there. That's my opinion. Logan Paul looks like he belongs in wrestling. Like, I can't believe how good he looks. You know, and some of these guys, like, you see guys do a lot of things in there, but not always does it impress you, though. And sometimes I feel like it's almost expected because you're like, okay, this guy, you know, he's probably been wrestling, you know, and most of them, it's like, okay, they've probably been wrestling since, you know, the regional circuits. But Logan Paul has never, I mean, I know they said, I think they said that he was on like a wrestling team either in college or in high school, right?
High school.
I think, yeah. So he has like wrestling experience in some degree, but not as a wrestler though, not as like a semi-pro or pro wrestler. Like, when did he ever do that? And it's like just now. So he just completely skips that whole phase and is on the biggest stage of them all for wrestling. And I think he looks incredible. Like, I can't believe his matches that he puts on. I have not watched the entire Logan Paul match. Maybe I'm misrepresenting it, but from the clips I've seen, bro, I think he looks great in the ring. He looks like he's meant to be in there. And if he he has to be taking it seriously if he looks like that, because you're not just going to improve that much and look the way he does in the short time that he's probably been, you know, at the, you know, WWE Performance Center, you know, getting his moves in and learning the game. Like, there's no way he would look like that if he wasn't really, really on it and he was really dedicated. And even with that, in the short time that he has been doing it, I'm very impressed by that. So I give him a lot of credit, bro. And if they're putting him up to a match with, you know, pretty much the biggest name in the organization right now, and arguably the biggest name in wrestling, period, like you said, you know, they must really see something in him. And I mean, I'm not hating on that. I think he looks great in there. So, you know, I remember, like, great wrestling matches. I'm not trying to say he's like this dude, but, the best wrestling, like, there's been some great matches, but really, when you talk about, like, great matches, bro, I would say probably one of the most memorable wrestling matches I've ever seen was back when AJ Styles was in TNA. And when AJ Styles was in TNA, completely different. Like, people see AJ Styles in WWE, like, this is not even the same guy. Like this one here, like, is still, like, AJ Styles is a great, great wrestler and performer. He's still great. But not on the level he was on in TNA. Like, the matches he was putting on in TNA were phenomenal. And they even called him, that's a phenomenal one for a reason, you know? AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, is for good reason. He was phenomenal. That dude, one of the best matches I've ever seen, and I want to say they faced off a number of times, but was AJ Styles. Samoa Joe was, I think, the champion. Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles. Oh, my goodness. They put on a match, bro. I remember watching this, like, 20, 30-minute match with them two one time, and you wouldn't even know that much time passed by. That's how good the match was, bro. Wow. AJ Styles was different, bro. You ever want to see AJ Styles, you got to look up his TNA footage, bro. That dude was insane. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, I know that was a little bit off, but, hey, you know, shout-out to AJ Styles, and really shout-out to Logan Paul. You know, he's clearly putting in that work in the ring to be doing what he's doing. So shout-out to him.
Yeah, man. You know, it's good. I mean, it's good to see that Logan is taking it seriously. Like he said, he was in high school the number 5 ranked wrestler in his division or whatever in the state of Ohio. And I want to say Ohio is considered one of the top wrestling states in the country. So if he was number 9 ranked, then, I mean, he has some skills. But we got to talk about this, Keys. Tyson Fury taking on Anthony Joshua. I was kind of shocked by this one. Anthony Joshua coming off 2 losses. Why would he be getting a shot at Tyson Fury when Usyk has the other belt and he just beat Anthony Joshua twice? According to Fury, Usyk wanted to take some time off. I know Usyk is Ukrainian, and he's been supporting the war effort there in Ukraine. But do I think Usyk would have turned down a unification fight against Tyson Fury? I'm going to say no. I don't think Usyk was ever offered the fight. I think Tyson Fury wanted to fight Anthony Joshua in the UK because both of them are British, and it was supposed to be 2 of the best heavyweights ever unifying the belts. But, of course, Anthony Joshua doesn't have a belt. I think this fight makes sense business-wise, but competition-wise, I don't like it. But, you know, sometimes in boxing, you got to deal with that. What do you think about Anthony Joshua coming off 2 losses being able to fight the heavyweight champion of the world, Tyson Fury?
I mean, I don't really know. I'm not the boxing guy, but from my outside looking in opinion, I mean, I like Fury so much. I admire him so much. I just tend to believe whatever he says. So I might be a little bit one-sided, but I mean, Fury said that, you know, he at least made it seem like Usyk, you know, went off running, you know, when they tried to make the fight. So, you know, that he said he had injuries or something like that. So I don't know what the truth is, but that's what Fury said. And that's the thing, man. When you don't have, like, that's the thing, like, with, you know, people don't, like, aren't talkative and, like, they won't speak up. It's like, that's what happens. Like, a louder person is, that's who's going to be heard. So, like, you need to speak up, like, especially if it's, like, something that matters to you, or it's like you're you know, a big name in boxing. Like, you should tell people what the situation is. You know what I mean? So you don't get misrepresented and now you're missing opportunities to fight for the undisputed title. And it's like, bro, have your people speak up. You know what I'm saying? If he doesn't, like, I don't know how much English he speaks. I don't know if he speaks English. I don't even pay attention to these dudes really that much. But, like, you know, you got to speak up, man. Like, if you want people to know your side, you got to speak up and tell your side. And I just don't see. I mean, I guess at the same coin, I don't really follow Usyk that much. But I mean, if I did see an article, you know, saying, "Oh, they said this," I would click it and see what it was. But I haven't seen that. And I usually do. I would if it came across me, which it probably would. I would have read it. I just didn't see it. So, yeah, Fury said he went off running. He wanted to give Joshua a shot. I mean, I think maybe he just knows, like you said, that's still a box office fight. He knows that's still going to be a big fight in the UK. I mean, and that's a fight probably both of them still want. They both imagine that being the fight. And it's still a huge fight, still a big payday for both guys. And, I mean, I'm sure Fury feels like, okay, this is, you know, a fight I believe I more than likely win. And that's probably a big part of it for him too. He's like, okay, this is the guy I know that, you know, I'm more than likely going to beat him. And maybe even a little bit, it's despite Usyk, you know what I mean? That might even be a little bit of spiteful, you know, it might be a little bit of spite in that. Like, okay, how about this? You want to, you know, play, you know, little kid games. I'm going to give the fight to the guy that you just beat. I'm going to make you feel like you're not even the champion. I'm going to give the fight to the guy you just beat. Maybe there's a little bit of spite in there, bro. Do you ever think about that?
I never even thought about it that way. I never thought about it that way at all. But the way I was looking at it was totally from a different perspective. And I was thinking, okay, we get Fury versus Usyk. And maybe we get Deontay Wilder versus Anthony Joshua. So, do we get Fury? We do get Fury versus Joshua. We know that's happening. Deontay Wilder is about to fight in a couple weeks. Do we get Deontay Wilder versus Usyk? There's a lot of ways that can go, but if on Usyk, I'm sitting back and I'm waiting to fight Tyson Fury, man. That's your biggest payday and probably the biggest payday you ever going to have in your life. So, man, I never thought about it that way, Keys, but, hey, that's why we pay you the big bucks on this show.
Yeah, man, yeah, I'll tell you that. That's why they got me on salary over here, man. I bring these points to the table and I guess y'all thinking these things that, you know, you hadn't come to realize yet. And, you know, that's just what it is. I mean, if we want to really, you know, start charging the UFC for all the things they stole from us, I'm just playing. No accusations there. We're chilling, UFC. It's all good. But I know you listen to our show, though, and you took a lot of your ideas from us. So it's all cool. You know, we have a friendly relationship, but we appreciate y'all. Just saying, we know. We know what it is. We know that. So, anyways, and when Ferguson ends up getting booked for either Bobby Green or Dan Hooker next, yeah, we'll leave it at that. Okay, So going back into it is I did see Wilder say that he would be down to fight Usyk. So that fight might be there. I want to say I might even seen Usyk say he'd be down to fight Wilder. So that fight might be there. I mean, imagine how crazy it would be if Usyk loses to Wilder. Wilder takes back all the belts. And then you end up having Fury versus Wilder again.
Yeah, I know,
how
right?
How crazy would that be, bro?
That's crazy.
That would be crazy, but you never know, because that would really – someone said that the other day. They were like, what would the irony of that if in the end all this happens, Wilder lost, you know, technically three times, and then still ends up
– with the belt.
Andy Joshua loses twice, and then Usyk's supposed to fight Fury. They don't fight, and then somehow Wilder ends up with all the belts again. That'd be kind of epic, bro. I think I would, you know, that would be pretty funny, man. I'd be happy for Wilder. I fuck with Wilder. I rock with him, bro. I want to see him come back and win. You know, that'd be, you know what I mean? Because he's so, look, Deontay, I don't know, but I'm not the boxing guy, but what it looks like to me is he went on a hell of a run, bro. He was like 40-0 at one point, and 41-0. Whatever point he got to, either way, that's a hell of a run. And I just think, you know, he got to the point, you know, he fought the best heavyweight, what I think probably the best heavyweight of our time, at least. And, you know, you fight the best guys. I mean, you might come up short there. And I just think now, you know, people kind of made it seem like Wilder's trash. And it's like, he's not trash, bro. He fought the best guy out there. You know what I mean? That doesn't make him trash. Like, that doesn't mean that he's, like, bottom of the barrel because he couldn't beat the best guy in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're trying to beat the final boss. It's, like, not that difficult. I mean, not that difficult. It's not that easy. So, you can't downrate him for that. You know what I'm saying? At least he steps up to fight him. You know what I mean? A lot of guys are like, oh, like, this guy lost to, you know, that guy. This guy lost to that guy. And it's like, yeah, but you ducked that fight. How can you criticize somebody if you ducked that fight? You know what I mean? It's like, oh, but like, you know, Conor lost to, you know, Conor lost to Khabib, and it's like, yeah, but you ducked Khabib. They offered you him, and you turned it down. You know what I'm saying? Don't talk about guys losing to guys when there's plenty of guys out here that duck all these guys. All these guys. It's like, you have all these fighters, and it's not even just about one person, but you turn down – you cannot say anything if you turn down fights. I'd rather see a guy that doesn't turn down the fight, takes it and loses, rather than a guy who turns it down because he's afraid to lose his O. Pussy.
Hey, I have to agree, man. But, you know, some of these boxers, like I said, these guys can be clowns at times because they would turn down or vacate belts. Not to fight a guy. And to me, that makes zero sense. When you are a boxer and you out here striving to be the best and you telling everybody on the best, but when it comes time to put your money where your mouth is, you will vacate a belt. So, but, hey, man, things be crazy in boxing. But, man, they just got a lot of fights going on. And, you know, Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford is going to fight probably two of the best welterweights in the world. Not probably. They are the two best welterweights in the world right now. But we'll probably get into that at a later date. But, man, we got about 5 minutes left. Hey, did you see the fights this weekend? Did you see Corey Sandhagen?
No, I didn't see it. I forget where I was at, but I wasn't. I was out somewhere. I didn't see it. Yeah, but they said something. They said I heard he was losing the song. And Song's our boy though. I don't know if you still we I remember bigging him up on this show a lot. I'm not just trying to make a point like I was right. I mean Song and Dong lost, so it's not even about me being right or anything. But Song, I rock with Song, man. Since way back, we talked about Song Yadong. You remember that? We've been talking about Song Yadong on this show. So, And Sanhagen's good too. We've been talked about him too. Most of these guys we've been talked about on the show, you know, before anything. You know, before the main event, you know, fights and before, you know, title fight opportunities or anything. Before top five, you know. Talked about all these guys. So Song Yadong though, they said Song Yadong was winning that fight. That's what a lot of people said. They said Song Yadong, you know, was probably gonna win that fight. And then they said that in the fifth round, Sanhagen, you know, punched him in the eye, he cut his eye, and it was a doctor stoppage. Is that what happened?
Song Yadong dominated the fight early. I would say probably the first or second rounds. But then my man Corey Sanhagen started putting it on him. And then he cut him, I want to say, in the late third or early fourth. But Corey looked so much better in this fight, man. He looked so much better in this fight. I think taking the time off definitely was great for him because he needed it. Sometimes me and Keys always say this. When you've been so active, sometimes you got to let your body rest and heal and recuperate. It can't be fight, camp, fight, back and fight, camp, fight, back and fight, camp, fight. No, you got to let your body heal. You got to let your body rejuvenate. And I think this fight, taking that time off, let Corey Sanhagen do that. And it also let him improve his game a little bit. He has some new wrinkles. I thought he looked good in there. I thought Young Don came in and did what he was supposed to do. But I thought as long as Corey didn't get hit a lot, he was going to win that fight. And he pulled it out, man. It was a great show. Yes, the doctor did stop it. But, you know, Corey inflicted a lot of – every round he went after that eye. When that eye got cut, he just kept going after it. So, hey, Corey looked good. No, I'm glad to see him back in there, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I'll say this. Who would you like to see him fight next? I mean, what about him and Chito?
Chito Vera. See, I think Chito Vera is in line for a title shot. Because didn't he beat Dominique Cruz? I want to say yeah.
Yeah, I think he knocked out Cruz, I think in the fifth round.
Yeah.
Or fourth round, maybe fourth round?
Yeah.
Was it fourth or fifth round?
Yeah, I think Chito Vera is in line for a title shot. So, man, who would I like to see Sanhagen fight? I would have said Jose Aldo, but Jose just retired. I'm going to go with our boy, Merab. Corey Sanhagen versus Merab. Let's get it.
You want to do Sanhagen and Merab?
Yeah, let's do that one. I like that one.
Yeah, that's a cool fight. I mean, a lot of people are hating on Merab right now because they're saying that, you know, since Aldo retired, that Merab kind of – I didn't see that fight because I was at the wedding and I haven't watched it back. I don't really particularly like watching fights back. I'm not really too much into that. I like to watch them live. So, yeah, sometimes I might watch a fight back on ESPN Plus, but, like, not very little do I do that. I mean, the one that I will watch back soon is Gamrot and Saryukin. I'm going to watch Gamrot and Saryukin pretty soon. Definitely before Gamrot's fight at 280 because people said that was like one of the best fights they've seen in a while, you know, and one of the best lightweight fights, you know, maybe even ever. So I'm definitely going to go back and watch that. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't see Merab's performance, but they did say, like, you know, he kind of held Aldo in the clinch a lot. And I'm a Merab guy, obviously, but I mean, I guess based on the performance, people are mad that, you know, Aldo retired on that performance and didn't really get to give us, like, a better fight. And they're kind of, like, blaming Merab for it, which is – that's a little iffy. But, I mean, yeah, I would have liked to see Aldo and Cruz. I would have liked to see Aldo and Cruz. And, yeah, we could do Merab and Sanhagen, too, you know. I say bring Aldo back. I say Aldo comes back, right? And then you do Aldo and Cruz in Rio. And then you do Sanhagen. You let Aldo go out in Rio. That's the way that should have happened. He should be retiring in Rio, first of all. The King of Rio should be retiring in Rio. You know what I'm saying? The next card in January is in Rio. You're telling me he's not going to wait and just fight there? Fight Cruz. That's the fight. Aldo and Cruz. Boom. Two legends in Rio. Winnable fight for both guys. Like, either guy can win that fight. That's a perfect fight. Aldo and Cruz. And then win or lose, Aldo retire right there. And with your people. You know what I mean? That's the way that should be. We don't have the guy retire on that. You know, he lost the fight. Like, I'm retire on that. He's not even and he's in what? Fucking where was that fight at? Salt Lake City? What the fuck? You're gonna have him retire in Salt Lake City? Who the fuck is retiring in Salt Lake City? Who's even from Salt Lake City, bro? What the fuck? Salt Lake City? Is anyone even living Salt? Come on, son. Come on, man. That shit's garbage, man. That's terrible. You gotta wait, right? His manager is crazy. You gotta wait a couple months, let Aldo chill, then tell him, okay, we want you to fight Cruz. Offer him the fight in like October. Let him start training for it. Boom, fight Cruz, two legends, win or lose, Tyron Rio. And you already know the scenes right there. Aldo and Cruz are going to be holding each other's hands up. It's going to be like a – real ones are going to be shedding tears for that, man. It really is. Real ones are going to be shedding tears in that moment because you already know the two – that those dudes probably have mad respect for each other. It's going to be all love. That's the way you got to go. And then, yeah, so Merab and Sanhagen, I like that fight too. Let's do that one. I'm cool with that. Definitely cool with that fight.
Yeah, man. So we had a good show tonight, man. We covered a lot. You know, we reviewed UFC 279. We talked about what we think will be next for Nate Diaz. We talked about Jake Paul versus Anderson Silva, Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns. We talked about Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury. And, you know, we just talked about a little bit of Corey Sagan and the bantamweight division, which is probably the best division in the UFC right now. And when you look at it from top to bottom, so although lightweight is pretty good too. 155 is pretty good. Yeah. Lightweight and bantamweight right now are definitely holding the UFC down. But, hey, any last words, bro?
No, I don't think I got anything this week. I think I let you rock out. I'm good right now. Yeah, thank y'all for listening. That's what I always say. You know, hit us up on Twitter, whatever. No, the floor is yours, bro. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, man. I ain't got much to say tonight, y'all. You know, I'm glad to do a show with y'all. You know, me and my man Keys. Got UFC 280 coming up probably in a couple weeks. Man, we're going to have a lot of fun with that. We'll have a lot of fun with that. But as a closing, always, you know, be positive at all times. Take care of you. Take care of yourself. Take care of others. And ride this thing we call life. Ride this mother till the wheels fall off. If the wheels fall off and you can get them repaired, put the mugs back out there and ride some more. That being said, Lee and Key signing off. We always end the show with a peace.